The signals of an organization where work keeps moving but people are breaking down. Overwhelmed teams go quiet first. Not everyone breaks down simply because there is a lot of work. The real danger begins when people feel they can no longer cope, yet continue working as if everything is fine. The ability to recognize an overwhelmed team is no longer just a sign of a leader's kindness. It is becoming an important skill for protecting both organizational performance and people's health.
Key message: a busy team and an overwhelmed team are not the same. A team can endure heavy work when priorities and a sense of control are clear. But when people lose the feeling that they can cope, the team begins to break down quickly. An overwhelmed team goes quiet first. Fewer complaints and quieter meetings do not always mean the team is healthy. Silence can be a sign not of stability, but of resignation and exhaustion. Overwhelm is not a weakness of mind, but a problem in the structure of work. When workload, meetings, vague instructions, shifting priorities, and slow decisions become tangled, the most diligent people often become exhausted first. Overwhelmed teams focus more on avoiding mistakes than on thinking in new ways. They may still look busy on the outside, but creativity, collaboration, and judgment begin to shrink. In the end, they work in a way that erodes performance rather than sustaining it. Good leadership reorganizes work instead of simply asking people to endure more. When leaders decide what to reduce, stop, slow down, and clarify, the team can breathe again. A healthy organization protects people's energy so they can continue doing important work for a long time.
On December 8, 2025, in Harvard Business Review, Allison Meister and Nelle Dale raised the question of whether leaders truly know when their teams are overwhelmed. The overwhelm discussed here is different from simply being busy or stressed. It is closer to a state in which work keeps pouring in, but the strength and space needed to handle it have disappeared. It may not yet be serious enough to be called burnout, but when this state continues for too long, concentration, judgment, collaboration, and health begin to weaken one after another. Organizations usually notice the problem only after results start to collapse, but in reality, teams have been sending signals long before that point. A busy team and an overwhelmed team are not the same. In today's workplace, busyness is almost treated as the default setting. Meetings continue one after another, messenger notifications keep ringing, and new requests suddenly arrive. A plan made in the morning has already changed by the afternoon, and there are many days when people have worked all day but feel as if they never touched the truly important work. That is why organizations easily say, "This is just a busy period. It will pass if we hold on a little longer." Everyone is doing this much. But busyness and overwhelm are different. Busyness means there's a lot to do. Overwhelm means the feeling that one can handle that work has disappeared. Even when there is a great deal of work, people can endure it if priorities are clear, help is available, and there is room to breathe. On the other hand, even when the workload is not extremely heavy, people can easily become overwhelmed if they do not know where to start, are constantly interrupted, face unclear expectations, and feel strong pressure not to make mistakes. Stress can sometimes help people focus. A moderate level of tension can raise energy before an important task. But overwhelm does not raise energy. It paralyzes a person's ability to process work. People know what they need to do, but their hands do not move. Even a short reply feels burdensome. They sit in meetings, but the content does not enter their minds. They open a document and stare at it for a long time, but they cannot see where to begin. At this point, people are not being lazy. They are not lacking responsibility. In fact, people with a strong sense of responsibility often endure the longest. They try to solve problems alone so they will not make them bigger. They take on more work because they do not want to burden their colleagues. Then, at some point, the weight of work begins pressing down on them from the inside. On the outside, they are still working. On the inside, balance has already been broken. If an organization misses this difference, it becomes dangerous. Busyness can be recovered from once it passes. But overwhelm accumulates when it is left unaddressed. It cannot be solved simply by postponing one deadline. The amount of work, the speed of work, priorities, meeting habits, decision-making structures, and the leader's expectations must all be examined together. Helping an overwhelmed team is not simply a matter of saying, get some rest. It means reorganizing work so that it no longer crushes people. The more strained a team becomes, the less it speaks. An overwhelmed team does not necessarily complain loudly. In many cases, it becomes quiet. People speak less in meetings, questions disappear, and new suggestions stop appearing. Someone who used to point out problems first suddenly begins saying only, "Yes, understood." A person who once actively shared opinions now simply looks at the screen throughout the meeting, keeps the camera off, or leaves no comments after the meeting ends. Leaders may mistake this for stability. Complaints have decreased, meetings have become quieter, and conflict has faded, so they assume the team is working well. But silence can be a sign of stability, and it can also be a sign of giving up. Overwhelmed people become quiet because they no longer have the energy to speak. They close their mouths because they do not believe anything will change even if they speak. They remain silent because offering a new opinion may only create more work. The fact that results are still being produced can also mislead leaders. Many teams continue performing for a while even when they are overwhelmed. This is especially true of teams with a strong sense of responsibility. Deadlines are met, reports are submitted, and customer responses continue. From the outside, nothing seems wrong. But there is a difference between results that come from healthy engagement and results that are barely being held together by everyone pushing too hard. It becomes even more dangerous when deadlines met through overtime, crises resolved over weekends, and late-night replies are praised inside the organization as signs of dedication. Because the team managed to push through once, people assume it can do so again. When emergency situations repeat, emergency mode gradually becomes everyday life. The organization accepts overextension as the new standard, and people increasingly lose the ability to tell how far they are supposed to endure. There is one thought leaders must be especially careful about. If there is a problem, they will say so. But overwhelmed people often cannot say exactly that. Asking for help itself becomes another task. They do not have the space to explain what the problem is, and they worry that saying they are struggling will make them appear weak. They may also feel guilty, as if they are shifting the burden to their colleagues. That is why leaders must watch for changes, not just listen for words, if they want to recognize an overwhelmed team. They need to notice whether people are speaking less in meetings, whether small decisions are repeatedly delayed, whether mistakes have increased compared with the past, whether expressions and tones have become sharper, and whether laughter has disappeared. A quiet team is not necessarily a healthy team. Sometimes the most dangerous team is not the one with many complaints, but the one that completes everything without saying a word. The problem is not weakness of mind, but tangled work. Organizations often treat overwhelm as an individual problem. They repeat advice such as managing time better, setting priorities, strengthening one's mindset, exercising, or getting enough sleep. Of course, personal recovery habits matter. Sleep, exercise, rest, and relationships are essential for people to work sustainably. But if an entire team is repeatedly overwhelmed, that cannot be explained by individual effort alone. Overwhelm usually emerges when work becomes tangled. The workload is heavy, but priorities keep changing. Responsibility is broad, but authority is narrow. There are many meetings, but decisions are slow. Messages keep coming, but there is no time for deep thinking. New projects begin, but existing work does not disappear. Sudden urgent tasks push aside every plan. People are working hard, but it is difficult to know what should come first, what can be dropped, and what level of completion is enough. In this kind of organization, it is often not the work itself that exhausts people, but the confusion around the work. People spend more time figuring out whom they need approval from than actually preparing the material. They spend more time fitting information into reporting formats than solving the problem. They spend more time checking and answering messages than concentrating. At the end of the day, they remember moving busily, but the feeling that they completed meaningful work remains faint. Vague instructions also overwhelm people. Please prepare this well. Please review this quickly. Please raise the quality as much as possible. These phrases may sound ordinary, but for the person doing the work, they can become demands with no clear end. That is because it is unclear what counts as enough. The leader spoke briefly, but the team member spends a great deal of energy interpreting those words. Out of fear that the work may look insufficient, they add more material. Out of fear that they may have missed something, they keep revising late into the night. Organizations without priorities also exhaust people. In an organization where everything is said to be important, nothing can truly become important. Team members keep wavering between important work and urgent work, visible work and truly necessary work. When a leader says, "This is important and that is important too," team members eventually feel that they must hold on to everything at once. But human concentration is not infinite. To reduce overwhelm, leaders must first look at the system. Is the workload of this team actually manageable? Are meetings creating decisions, or are they postponing decisions? Are reports helping judgment, or have they become a formality meant to reduce anxiety? Are messages helping collaboration, or are they constantly breaking concentration? When someone says they are struggling, does the organization see that person as the problem, or does it re-examine the structure of work? Healthy organizations do not treat overwhelm as an individual weakness. They see it as a warning signal sent by the work itself. If not just one or two people, but many people are becoming exhausted in similar ways, the problem is not only inside the people. Leaders must decide what to reduce, what to stop, what to slow down, and what to clarify. Overwhelm appears through emotion, but the solution usually begins by fixing the structure of work. Overwhelmed teams stop thinking in new ways. The greatest loss in an overwhelmed team is not simply that work becomes slower. The bigger loss is that the range of thinking narrows. When people are overwhelmed, they cannot look far ahead. Because they spend all their strength dealing with what is right in front of them, they lose the room to think about better methods or experiment with new ideas. The team still moves busily, but that busyness gradually becomes defensive movement. It begins with very small changes. In a meeting, someone is about to make a new suggestion but stops. They worry that it may look as if they are creating more work when there is already too much. Another person notices a problem, but says nothing. They fear that the moment they mention it, they will be assigned to solve it. Someone else sees an important signal in a customer complaint, but because there is too much immediate work to handle, they simply let it pass. In this way, the team's ability to sense and imagine gradually shrinks. Overwhelmed teams focus more on avoiding mistakes than on innovation. A new path always involves uncertainty. But for someone who is already exhausted, uncertainty is not an opportunity. It is an added burden. So the team chooses familiar methods, existing formats, and proven answers. Even when a leader asks for creativity, the people on the ground repeat safe choices. This is not a lack of ability. For tired people, avoiding mistakes feels more urgent than trying something new. The quality of collaboration also declines. When people have room, they interpret others' words generously. But when they are overwhelmed, that room disappears. A short message feels cold, a small comment sounds like an attack, and a schedule change is received as a lack of consideration. Instead of understanding one another's circumstances, people begin defending their own burdens. Thoughts such as, "Why didn't they even do this? Why does the work always fall on me?" and "Why do they always change things at the last minute?" pile up, and trust inside the team slowly wears down. Judgment also becomes unstable. When people have room, they compare information, examine possibilities, and think about long-term consequences. But when they are overwhelmed, they cling to the fastest conclusion. They choose whatever puts out the fire in front of them and push future problems aside. That is why overwhelmed teams may appear to be handling many tasks, but in reality, they often end up fixing the same problems repeatedly. They do not have time to address the root causes. Leaders must pay close attention to this point. Busy teams look capable. They have many meetings, many materials, fast replies, and people working late. But the amount of busyness and the quality of performance are not the same thing. An overwhelmed team may process many things while missing what matters most. It may finish work quickly but fail to leave behind learning. It may resolve a problem but fail to build a structure that prevents the same problem from returning. An organization's future capability comes from having room. Room is not laziness. It is space for better judgment. When that space disappears, an organization may look fast in the short term, but it becomes slow and dull in the long term. It keeps running, but cannot change direction. It keeps processing, but cannot create something new. In the end, an overwhelmed team begins working in a way that eats away at performance rather than sustaining it. Leaders must notice both quietness and excessive diligence. Overwhelm appears differently from person to person. Some people speak less, while others become more sensitive. Some delay decisions, while others try to respond immediately to every request. Some disappear from meetings, while others cling to even more meetings and reports. That is why leaders cannot recognize overwhelm simply by looking at facial expressions. They must notice rhythms that have changed from the past. One of the most common signals is delayed decision-making. An overwhelmed person finds even small choices difficult. They struggle to decide which task to do first, whom to reply to first, and what level of completion is enough. From the outside, they may look indecisive, but in reality, their mind may already be full. If a leader pressures them by asking, "Why are you so slow?" the situation worsens. What they need is not criticism, but help reducing the number of choices. Sharper emotions are another signal. Someone who used to let things pass smoothly may react sensitively or become deeply shaken by a small schedule change. They may answer colleagues' question defensively or become overly sensitive to minor mistakes. If this is seen only as an attitude problem, the essence is missed. When people have room, they can tolerate others' mistakes and imperfections. When they are overwhelmed, that buffer disappears. On the other hand, excessive diligence can also be a signal. A person who always replies first, attends every meeting, never refuses a request, and stays online late at night is easily evaluated as capable in an organization. But if that behavior continues, the leader must ask a question. Is this person truly managing well, or are they continuing to move because they feel they will collapse if they stop? Not resting may not mean they are healthy. It may mean they are more afraid of facing the burden that has accumulated the moment they pause. There are also signals at the team level. Meetings gradually become centered on reporting, and discussion decreases. New ideas stop appearing, and everyone focuses only on following the existing plan. The same problems repeat, and small mistakes increase. People become more sensitive about protecting the boundaries of their own work than about helping one another. When phrases such as, "That is not my job," become more common, it may not simply be selfishness. It may be a sign that people have no capacity left. Good leaders do not ask only, "Are you okay?" Many people answer that they are okay, even when they are not. Instead, good leaders ask more specific questions. What is the most burdensome task right now? What must be finished this week, and what can be delayed? What uncertainty would be reduced if I made a decision? Are there meetings or reports that do not need to happen? Who could help unblock the bottleneck? These questions are not about digging into someone's emotions. They are questions that reorganize work. What overwhelmed people often need is not vague comfort, but concrete clarification. When it becomes clear what should be done first, what can be delayed, and what does not have to be done, people can breathe again. Recovery begins not with comfort, but with reorganization. An overwhelmed team needs warm words. "That must have been hard. You do not have to handle it alone." That can happen. Such words clearly bring comfort. But if comfort is offered while the work stays the same, the effect does not last. Team members hear the comfort and then return to the same workload, the same meetings, and the same urgent requests. Then the organization's words and actions contradict each other. In words, it says things are all right. In practice, it tells people to keep enduring. The first step in recovery is making the work visible. Many teams do not know exactly how much work they are actually doing. Projects, recurring tasks, urgent requests, report preparation, meeting attendance, and invisible coordination work are scattered across people's minds, messengers, and email inboxes. Leaders must first lay all of this work out in one place. Work must be visible before it can be reduced and prioritized. The second step is deciding what to stop. Organizations are used to starting new work, but they are poor at stopping existing work. So work keeps accumulating. Even when a new project begins, existing reports remain. Even when a new tool is introduced, old approval procedures do not disappear. If a team is overwhelmed, the leader must ask, what does not need to be done right now? What was once necessary but now remains only because of habit? What can be done with a lower level of polish? The third step is clarifying expectations. Not every task needs to be done at the highest level. Some tasks only need a quick draft, and some only need a check on direction. Some tasks require deep analysis, but others only need a brief update. The problem arises when the leader does not explain these differences. The leader wanted a simple review, but the team member worked overnight to produce a final version. When this repeats, the most diligent people become exhausted first. The fourth step is giving back a sense of control. At the heart of overwhelm is a loss of control. Even when there is a lot of work, people can endure it if they can decide the order, receive needed help, and adjust priorities. On the other hand, even when the workload is not extremely heavy, people become easily exhausted if requests keep interrupting them, directions keep changing, responsibilities are unclear, and schedules are unpredictable. Leaders must return small areas of control to team members. If people need time to concentrate, there should be no expectation that they respond to messages during that time. If deadlines overlap, priorities must be adjusted. If decision-making authority is needed somewhere, that authority must be clearly given. Please handle it on your own can become abandonment, not autonomy. True autonomy is possible only when direction and standards are clear. Recovery cannot last if it depends on individuals secretly taking time for themselves. Recovery must be built into the team's way of operating. There must be clear rules for meeting free time, time when replies are not expected, contact during vacations, and handover methods. If people are told they may rest while work continues to pile up during that rest, they cannot truly recover. A sustainable team is not one that relies on individual endurance. It is a team designed so that work can move forward without constant overextension. In the future, good organizations will notice breakdown earlier. Overwhelm is likely to become an even more important organizational issue in the future. Paradoxically, one reason is the development of productivity tools. AI can draft documents, summarize meetings, organize data, and suggest ideas. From the outside, it seems as if work will decrease. But in actual organizations, expectations can rise along with productivity. If something can be produced faster, people may be asked to produce more. If something can be revised more easily, people may be asked to revise it more often. Even if tools save time, overwhelm does not disappear if the organization fills that time with more work. Report drafts appear faster, but the number of versions to review increases. Meeting notes are summarized automatically, but more follow-up tasks are created. Messages are written faster, but the number of messages requiring replies also grows. When technology raises the speed and standard of work instead of reducing the work itself, people become overwhelmed in new ways. In the future, a good organization will not simply be one that uses many AI tools. It will be one that knows how to control the speed created by those tools. If repetitive work is reduced, the saved time should be used for deeper judgment, learning, recovery, and relationship coordination. Otherwise, the organization falls into a structure that produces faster, but becomes exhausted faster as well. Speed has increased, but human capacity for recovery has not. Future management of organizational health may not be possible through simple satisfaction surveys alone. Signals such as the number of meetings, message response times, frequency of task switching, overlapping deadlines, patterns of night work, and vacation use may become more important. Of course, such data must not become a tool for monitoring people. The purpose should not be to find out who is working less, but to identify earlier which teams are structurally overwhelmed. The role of leaders will also change. In the past, leaders were closer to people who gave goals and checked performance. In the future, leaders will need to balance the speed of work with human capacity. This does not mean goals are unimportant. The more important the goal is, the more important it is to work in a way that allows the team to last. If people are continuously consumed for short-term performance, the organization eventually loses judgment and execution power at critical moments. Overwhelm is a warning sound that comes before burnout. But the sound is not loud. It usually appears as small changes, silence, delay, sensitivity, excessive diligence, less laughter, and fewer questions. That is why leaders need not louder slogans, but more careful observation. They need the attitude of not believing everything is fine simply because the team is still performing. They need the sensitivity not to interpret a quiet person only as mature. They need the caution not to praise a busy person as capable without looking deeper. Organizations grow only as much as people can handle. No matter how good the strategy, technology, or goal may be, performance cannot last if the people carrying it out are continuously overwhelmed. Overwhelmed teams do not collapse suddenly one day. They have already been sending signals for a long time. The organizations simply misread those signals as busyness, diligence, and dedication. Good leadership begins with recognizing those signals before it is too late. Better leadership is completed by not telling people to endure more after recognizing them. If a team is overwhelmed, what it needs is not stronger encouragement. It needs work to be reorganized so that it presses down less heavily on people. In the end, a healthy organization is not one that does less work. It is one that protects people's energy so they can continue doing important work for a long time.